I'm going to talk to you about recent research in cervical secretion. And this is a common work between Professor Ude Blatt from Sweden and myself. He is, I think, the main person in the world knowing about cervical secretion. I'm going to do a short introduction about cervical secretion. Most of the things I'm going to do to say first, you know, but it's important to understand the second part of the presentation. As you know, cervical mucus is a hydrogel produced by the cervical glands. It's involved in sperm migration and maturation through the female genital tract. And change with the menstrual cycle, that means that it has different biophysical and biochemical characteristics throughout the cycle. Also, it's an important element for identifying ovulation, not only for clinicians, but also for women, and the natural family planning methods. Nowadays, we know that cervical secretion is not a homogeneous entity. It could therefore be a heterogeneous entity containing different types of secretions, which percentages vary with the cycle. The studies by Ude Blatt indicate that human cervical mucus contains four different types called G and the gestagenic influence, and L, S, and P on the estrogenic influence. Okay, this is how we take a sample from the cervix. Then we put in a slide, we spread out, then the water evaporates, and we see it at the microscope. So we have estrogenic mucus types, L, S, and P, which are, of course, during the fertile window that Professor Kosher described. And gestagenic mucus type in the unfertile phases of the cycle. I will describe very briefly both, all of them. In L mucus, appears 6-7 days before ovulation, and it has a typical ferny morphology. It has structure with a straight off core axis, branches protruding from it at 90 degree angles. So I will show some photographs we obtain. Okay. And in the fixed mucus from the cervical canal, we could see a structure similar to a marine sponge. And what is important is that the pores that we could find has diameter from 0.4 to 1.3 micrometers. That's important because the sperm has to cross. And the main function of the L mucus is filtering the sperm. This is what really the networking we have really in the cervical canal. Okay, S mucus is secreted 2-3 days before ovulation, and the morphology in the dried samples are parallel arrangement of crystals with little branches. This is a very happy sperm swimming because he could cross the difficult L mucus, and he is in the S mucus, happy, very happy, because he's probably going to reach the ovum. Okay, this is scanning electron microscope photograph of S mucus. Okay, and in the fixed samples, we could also see this parallel crossing fibers. And you can see that here the pores are 1.5 to 7 micrometers. It's interesting because sperm head is about 4 or 5 micrometers. So the sperm are very happy when they are swimming here. You can see them. Okay, P mucus is also a estrogenic mucus. And we can there are several subtypes. I'm not talking about them because today we have no time. But this is a scanning electron microscope with a 6-fold axis. And the important thing is that the branches protruding from the axis are at 60 degree angle. You can see some examples. This is a mix between P mucus and S mucus on the top. And this is a P cells secreting P mucus. This is one of the few examples we could find the cells in the middle of the secretion, and it's nice and it's interesting. So In the fixed samples, we could see that the diameters of the pores were 0.4 to 2 micrometers. Okay, G mucus is free crystals with the morphology and sometimes also cells. And in the fixed samples, we could see large plain surfaces and sometimes red blood cells, and the pores very, very, very little, 0.1 to 0.5. This is logical because there is no ovum to fertilize in these faces, so it's impossible to spread across the G mucus. Okay? So, these four different mucus types are produced in different cribs of the cervix. I have no time to explain it properly, but if someone is interested, I can tell later on. There's a map of the cervix where every mucus type is produced by different cells in different cribs. Okay? So, and this is percentages of each mucus types in the table, that you can see how at the beginning unfertile phase and at the second unfertile phase the G mucus dominates at more or less 100%, and then in the fertile window you have the other mucus types. An important thing is that some binary cell secretion system has been studied, because a single type of cells or a single type of secretion often shows well-defined function. However, we want to draw attention to systems in which two types of secretions or cell seems to form a symbiotic unit with a meaningful function of implants in the female genital tract. The first time this became evident was when spare propagation in gently prepared cervical mucus was studied. Rapid swimmers, as the happy one you saw before, with normal morphology, advance within the S mucus string. This is, again, our happy sperm. But slow swimmers with abnormal shape, which are hundreds of them, deviated laterally into the L mucus surrounding the string. So the first conclusion is that the intimate contact of the two mucus types, S and L, is necessary for sperm selection. This is, for example, are two mucus types together. Interaction between S and P6 mucus and between S and other P subtype mucus are very common. They form broom-like structures in the spread-out-dried smears of mid-cycle cervical mucus, like this one. And these structures are similar to nature, some in nature also. So the second conclusion is that the function of these brooms in vivo are not yet understood, but could be that they contribute also to sperm selection. Other common structure in mucous smears are the so-named grain drops. This is an example, and this is an example in all the sample. In a smear of an area of a few centimeters, they may form in 4 to 9 numbers. They look like a collection of thousands of grains of micrometer size. The whole drop may be 0.3 to 1 millimeter in diameter. And a more careful observation reveals a crystal center and the crystal resembling L mucus, but maybe some other mucus not yet identified. So the third conclusion is that because the GDs are so common, we are still studying them, they might have some function, and we think we have studied that perhaps they have a mucolytic function. So grains together with crystals are also found in the P2 mucus. It has been possible to follow P2 mucus from upper to lower cervix, and in the lower part of the cervix, near the cervical opening, we could find this P2 mucus with watery contents suggesting mucolytic activity, like in this photograph. So fourth conclusion should be that this mucolytic process occurs early in the fertile period and perhaps may help to clean the cervix, the cervical canal from G mucus, and be ready to receive the L and S secretion to be possible the sperm transport. The big symptoms depend largely on the secretion of first L and both L and S, and finally S and P. So peak symptom is not experienced in the cervix and not in the vagina, but in the vestibular part of the vulva. Therefore, smells have been removed from the vestibular area and examined in the microscope. Small quantities of L and S mucus have been found, but P6 dominates. So another type of structure was seen, the rope-like objects, what we decided to tell rope-like structure. This could be finally be explained as the result of normal apoptosis of the surface cells of the vestibulum. These photos would observe how this apoptosis gives rise to elongated cell residues, apparently with great affinity for P6 mucus, which enhances the slippery peak sensation. So, together, P6 and cell residues enhance the slippery peak sensation and helps women to identify ovulation. So, after the peak in the post-ovulatory phase, the G mucus dominates and fills the cervical canal. This has been considered very trivial, but what we have just found is that B cells with a very low secretory activity have been found in the G mucus. For example, those ones. A series of studies indicates that the cells persist until and after the next menstruation, and as long as they are dormant, they are inactive because they don't receive ATP, etc. So the last conclusion of this part means that this is an illustrative example of teamwork between secretion, G mucus, and cells, B cells. So the final conclusion is, what is surprising in our investigation is to observe the care that nature has bestowed upon the selection and filtering of sperm, being extraordinarily generous with the number of spermatozoids secreted in each ejaculation, 405 million all European Union population together. You imagine all of us running to win. Later, it puts them through a large number of tests and difficulties in advancing. And then they're crossing, and the bridge is the cervix, and the people are the sperm. Can you imagine 400 million people running? And at the end, only one, the best, is the responsible, together with the ovule, for the generation of a new human life. Thank you.